भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता चैप्टर 8 वर्स 27।
नैते श्रुति पार्थ जानन् योगी मुह्यति कश्चन तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु योगो युक्त भवार्जुन।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, always be fixed in devotion.
Krishna is here advising Arjuna that he should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in His service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain and direct. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness in all his activities. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, anasaktesya vishayan yatharham upayunjataha. One should be unattached in material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. By this system, which is called Yukta Vairagya, one attains perfection. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions, because he knows that his passage to the Supreme Abode is guaranteed by devotional service.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So first, let me offer my obeisances to all the devotees, the Vaishnavas who are here today, many of whom are senior to me, and all of you who are here taking out your valuable time for listening about Krishna. So the topic that I was thinking of speaking about today was actually the journey of life, and somehow the drama that was performed by the Central Zone devotees was coincidentally on the same topic. It was not really coordinated to that extent, but it just happened like that. So by Krishna's mercy it went well. So as we saw in the drama over there, it was depicting in a very nice and simple way what are the sufferings that the spirit soul undergoes when he takes birth, when he comes from somewhere. He just lands up in the womb of a mother, and then in the womb of the mother he suffers according to whatever the mother is doing. Mother is eating sour food, he suffers. If the mother is eating very spicy food, he suffers. If the mother is jumping, he suffers. If the mother is, whatever she is doing, basically he suffers. Basically, what is this journey of life? It's interesting to understand. Actually, it's very simple, can be described, that when a spirit soul accepts a body, we say birth, old age, disease and death. Actually, it's very simple. When a spirit soul accepts a body, it is birth. When a spirit soul gives up that body, it is death. And whatever happens in between is basically what we call the journey of life. This journey of life, actually, most of us, for those of us who do not have any knowledge, any spiritual knowledge, any spiritual background, there is a tendency to think that, okay, this is all there is. This lifetime, let me, just make the most of it. Let me just enjoy at any cost. And then that's it. After death, everything is over. But really, this journey of life did not begin in this life. It began many, many lifetimes before. And it shall continue for many, many lifetimes after this also. Unless we make a specific commitment to change the way we are living, to change the journey of our life. In this human life, actually, destiny brings so many people together. Really, it is just destiny that so many devotees, so many people are born at every moment. Hundreds and thousands of babies are born. Hundreds and thousands of animals are born. Millions and millions of plants are born. And probably billions and billions of insects are born every moment that we are talking. So many people are being born. So many living entities are taking bodies, and so many are dying. So what is it that brings everyone together in a particular situation? What is it that makes somebody be born in the family of, XYZ, and another person is born in the street, on the footpath? Somebody is born on the footpath. Somebody is born in a super speciality, 7-star hospital. Somebody is born in a beggar's family. Somebody is born in a multi billionaire's family. So what is it that brings all these people together? So it is described by the acharyas that, like, like in a river which is flowing, sometimes two twigs come together, two twigs or two branches of tree which have broken and fallen into the river, they come together, they kind of converge. When they converge, they get intertwined and they flow together for some time. And after some time they get, unentangled and they go their own ways. So it is destiny which, you know, brings people together. It is destiny which keeps us together, and it is ultimately destiny which splits us apart. I was just thinking that a river is a good analogy for life. For those of us who really have no spiritual background, for those of us who have not been fortunate enough to receive spiritual knowledge from a spiritual master, we are actually like those twigs in the river. You know, if you see a twig which is put in a river, anyone who has been to Badrinath, for example, Badrinath, there is a river Alaknanda. The force of the current there is so strong that if you just release something in the river, 5 seconds later it's gone almost like half a kilometer ahead. You know, it's that fast, the current is so fast. Now you can imagine that if somebody puts something into that current, what is the chance that that thing, even if it is a living entity, some living entity is there, what is the chance that if there's a small, let's say a cat falls into the water, or a dog falls into water, or a human being falls into the water, what is the chance that that human being, cat or dog, has any possibility of fighting against the current, going in the opposite direction, or even being stationary? There's no chance. The river is just going to drag them in a particular direction. And what is that direction that everyone is being dragged towards to? Death. Everyone, while we may, you know, tend to kind of soften the blow by thinking of other sweeter things of life, we may think about how, you know, oh, this human life is really an opportunity for us to enjoy. Some people feel that way. You know, animals have a life of great fear. If you see the animals, you know, we have, in my house, we have a nice window, a lot of plants, and every day some small birds come there, pigeons, sparrows, you know, some robins, some exotic birds also come sometimes. But the thing is, the moment you very carefully pull out your camera, you know, very carefully, jara bhi movement jada nahi hona chahiye, and you, moment you put it like this and you go little one step ahead, gone. They just fly away. Why do they fly away? Because they are fearful. If you see a dog, you know, see a dog on the street, if you just approach him from behind, he's, suppose he's facing in a particular direction, and you by mistake just scrape your foot on the ground, what does the dog do? Immediately he recoils in fear, because he thinks some enemy has come. Someone is going to come and, you know, attack me. So animals by nature are fearful. It's human beings, due to lack of knowledge, we are not fearful. We don't know what is going to happen. You know, like there was a devotee who had written a very nice article in Back to Godhead magazine. So he was saying that he was once in a train. You know, he says, I was in a train. I was traveling in a beautiful train, going through the, you know, beautiful plains of Europe. You know, the European rail is a very beautiful experience. It goes through the Swiss Alps, and, you know, very beautiful. Full speed the train is moving through mountains and plains, and it's a grand sight. And when he was going through this train, he was thinking, you know, about, okay, very focused, that, you know, I will get down at so-and-so station. At that station, when I get down, I have this presentation to make to this customer. I will go and talk to him. I will make this kind of pitch, and then he will give me business, and so on. He was planning in his mind, very furiously planning in his mind. Suddenly the ticket conductor came, just told him, get down at this station. He said, "Arey, my station has not yet come. I can't get down now." He said, "Just get down." And he just picked him up and threw him out on the station. He did not even have time to collect his bag, his laptop, everything got left behind. He was just thrown out on the station and the train moved on. And then he said, at that moment I woke up. It was a nightmare. So he woke up in a sweat. Oh my God, what a dream, you know, like, first of all, it was a very beautiful sight. I was seeing all nice things all around. I was seeing very nice things. And then I was planning about my, you know, what I'm going to do when I reach my destination. How I'm going to impress my customer. I was planning all that. And then suddenly, abruptly, the conductor came, threw me out of the train, didn't even give me time to pick up my bag. There was no time. All my belongings got left behind. So he was very beautifully, he gave this analogy. He said, this is the situation of all of us. All of us are in this situation. Abruptly, at some point of time, we are also, you know, running in this river of life, or this train of life, whatever you may call it. this train of life which is going from station to station, and we are looking at all the sights, you know, while we are going. Oh, this is nice. Oh, this is also quite nice actually, you know. So we are like, you know, very nicely enjoying all the sights and sounds around us, all the sense gratification that's available, we are trying to enjoy that. But it's, and we are very focused. We are planning. You know, maine wo flat liya hai, uska loan liya hai. Next year I will get this much bonus. From that bonus I will repay the loan. Then that person is going to give me so and so money, that money. And you know, we are planning. Then I will get married. Then I will have children. I will do this. I will do that. So many plans we are making. And then suddenly the TC comes and just drags you out and throws you out. He said, "Arey, but what about my wife, my children?" He said, "Just get out. Get out. Tumhara station aa gaya. Out." So this is what we call cruel death. You know, this is what life is about actually. While we may be, as devotees, we have a wonderful life. We have a great life as devotees actually. Those who are in the process of Krishna consciousness, who are in the association of devotees, we actually have a wonderful life. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. So this, millions of living entities who are taking birth like this, you know, in wombs of their mothers, or in eggs, or in whatever plants, you know, however they are taking birth. Millions and billions of living entities who are taking birth in the material world. Really, they are just brahmite. They are just, you know, going round and round through different species of life, just rotating through different species of life, with no clue and no control or what their next moment is going to be. We do not even know what the next moment holds. Forget what about, you know, next year or year after next or next decade holds. No one knows. Who would have predicted, you know, like I'm just taking a contemporary example, the Telangana state, you know, Andhra Pradesh and Telangana state. Many people must have invested real estate thinking that, you know, split nahi hoga, ho gaya. And you know, everyone is now bewildered, not knowing what to do. What do you think the agitations are about? The agitations are not really about anything else. It's about money. Everyone's bothered about what happens to my investments. So nobody can predict anything. In the material world, it is impossible for us to really predict anything. We are so focused. We are so worried about, you know, how I can improve my material situation. Those who are children are thinking about how I can have more toys, how I can have more games, how I can have more, books. Nice comics to read. Those who are little grown up, they start thinking about how I can get into a medical college, engineering college. Some people who have got into medical, engineering or whatever field they have got into, they start worrying, okay, now how do I get a good job? How do I get the best possible job? Because if I don't get a good job, I'll not get a good husband or a good wife. So that's the next worry. Okay, they start thinking about, okay, now how do I get a good husband and wife? Then after they get a good husband or good wife, if they do manage to get a good husband or good wife, then they get married, then the worries start. Okay, now how do I make a house? You know, in Bombay, if you're staying in Bombay, that's a huge challenge. How do you make a house of your own? Then you take a loan. After taking a loan, I mean, this whole thing goes on. After that, children will be born, then you start worrying about children's education. Is there any point in our life where we can really say, okay, you know, I am relaxed now, sab ho gaya. That point never comes. And throughout our life, we are just worrying about those assets, that education, that money, that bank balance, which really is of no value. It's not really of so much value, because at any point of time, it can be taken away from you. I remember once, I think Gaurang Prabhu had given this analogy, beautiful analogy. He said that there was a man who was living in a rented house. Bhade ka ghar, right? Because nobody can afford to buy a house. Not everyone can afford to buy a house. He was living in a rented house. So he had a good relationship with his landlord and everything. And then one point of time, the landlord appeared there and told him, 1 week, I'm giving you 1 week, ek hafte mein ghar khali karna hai. So the tenant says, you know, what 1 week means, how can I? He said, no, 1 week, that's it. I'm giving you 1 week, in 1 week, sab saman leke out. You're out of this place. So the tenant, after he heard this, he immediately, you know, after the landlord went, he immediately called up his carpenter. He called up his carpenter. He called up the electrician. He called up, you know, all various people, plumber. सो उनको बुलाया, कारपेंटर को बोला देखो ये सब जो वट एवर फर्नीचर इज देयर दिस हैज टू बी मेड इवन बेटर नाउ, आई वॉन्ट टू पॉलिश इट वेरी नाइसली, आई वॉन्ट टू यू नो दिस, आई वॉन्ट टू एड वन डोर हियर, आई वॉन्ट टू मेक दिस मॉड्यूलर किचन, यू नो माई किचन इज नॉट वेरी नाइस, आई वॉन्ट मेक इट अ मॉड्यूलर किचन. देन ही टोल्ड यू नो हुएवर द प्लम्बर पुट वेरी नाइस फिटिंग्स, जगुआर फिटिंग्स, एवरीथिंग शुड बी वेरी नाइस इन द बाथरूम. सो यू नो हिज वाइफ केम टू हिम आस्किंग व्हाट आर यू डूइंग, ही सेड नो आई एम ब्यूटिफाइंग द हाउस. He said, but you fool, we are being thrown out in the next 1 week, why are you beautifying this house? And then you know he realizes, oh my God, what am I doing? But that is our situation. All of us are in the same situation. We are living on rent in this body. This body is being given to us on rent. We don't know at what point the landlord, Yamraj, will come and say, chalo, you know, train se niklo, saman lene ka jarurat nahi hai, nikal jao, you know. We don't know at what point that's going to happen to us. But still, what are we doing? We are spending all our living hours, we are spending all our time and energy in only beautifying this body, in beautifying this flat where we are living on rent, and any moment you can be thrown out. Is that intelligence? So Srila Prabhupada tells us, what are the real problems of life? Real problems of life are birth, old age, disease and death. He says that, Where is the department, you know, in all these great, great universities, great, great colleges, where is the department which gives us education on this aspect? How to, you know, cross over the problems of birth, old age, disease and death. So, many people understand how old age, disease and death are painful, are miserable. This drama also depicted how birth is also a miserable experience. And I used to always think, why do we say birth is miserable? What's so miserable about it? But then, you know, this drama depicted very nicely. His Grace Krishnananda Prabhu once gave a very nice analogy, you know, to explain further. It makes it very stark, that example. He said that anyone has traveled in train in seat number 72, anyone? Seat number 72 in the train, in carriage. What is special about seat 72? It is very close to the toilet. Right? Now, especially if you are going in Howrah Express or something, 36 hours journey, and you are close to the toilet for 36 hours, it's sheer unadulterated misery for 36 hours. In that period, you just close your nose and people keep going in, going out, the place is messy, oh God, it's like horrible. It's complete torture. Now you imagine, at least in 36 hours, that misery will be over. You will be out of the train. But a baby is in, infant is in the womb of the mother, inside practically that toilet, smelling that for 9 months. Miserable. You know, and bent up in this position, cannot move much. It's a miserable experience. So birth, old age, disease and death, these are the real problems of life. And especially if, you know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says in his Gita courses, he says, life is a preparation and death is the examination. So death is like a final exam. You know, if we have prepared for this final exam, then we'll be ready. No matter at what time the death comes, in what situation it comes, whatever, you know, what time of the day it is, what time of the night it is, which time of the year, you know, in the 8th chapter, there are many descriptions given. If you leave at this time of the year, this is what destination you get. If you leave at this time of the night, this is what destination you get. So, you know, the scriptures are replete with examples of what happens to you if you leave at a particular time and if you leave at a particular place in a particular manner. But then, in this particular verse, Krishna reassures Arjuna, and Srila Prabhupada also very beautiful purport. Krishna is reassuring Arjuna that for my devotee, it does not matter. It does not matter in what way you leave your body. It does not matter at what time you leave your body. It does not matter what place you leave your body. Because Krishna is taking care. There was a story which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to tell. He used to say that there was this, you know, sage. So he met different people. He met a prince. When he met the prince, he told the prince, better you live forever. The prince, he told, better you live forever. Then he met with a son of a great sadhu, who was like a brahmachari. He told that brahmachari, better you die. He was giving blessings to everyone. So to the prince he said, better you live forever. For the brahmachari he said, better you die. And then there was a devotee, a Vaishnava there. To that Vaishnava he said, better you live or better you die. Either you live, either you die. And then finally, there was a butcher. And to that butcher he said, neither you should die, neither you should live. Neither you should live, neither you should die. So, the people were very bewildered, what kind of blessings is this? You know, it's like very exotic kind of blessings. So he explained that for the prince, he gave him the blessing that better you live forever. Why? Because the prince today, in his material body, he is enjoying like anything. He is performing all kinds of unregulated sense gratification. And therefore, his future after he dies is very bleak. He is going to suffer immensely because of all the sinful activities he is performing at this moment. So better you live as long as possible. You know, because after you die, you are going to suffer like anything. And he is a prince. So while he is a prince, he will keep getting that enjoyment. Then to the brahmachari, he says, better you die. Why? Because that brahmachari is already fixed. He is already fixed in the process, you know, of obeying the instructions of his spiritual master. At this moment also, if he dies, he is going to go back to Godhead. He is already ready. Because he is leading such a pure life. He is leading such a regulated life and he is following the instructions of the spiritual master. By the blessings of Guru and Krishna, if he leaves at this moment, immediately he will go back to Godhead. So better you die. Then he tells the Vaishnava, either you live or either you die. Both okay. Why? Because a Vaishnava, when he is living, he or she is living, that Vaishnava is anyway engaged in the devotional service of Krishna. He is making devotees, he is himself working constantly to praise the Lord, to serve the Lord. And so if he is living, his life is wonderful. Even if he dies, it is wonderful because he is going to go back to Krishna. So either you live, either you die. And finally to the butcher, he says, neither you live, neither you die. Why? Because in the butcher, while he is living, what kind of life he is living? He is leading a life which is surrounded by violence. There is blood and violence and cries of, you know, pained animals in pain. He is surrounded by that all the time. So it is like a deathly, ghastly experience while he is alive. And anyway, after he dies, he is going to have again a very... very, very, it's a very, very painful life he's going to have after he dies also. He says, better you don't live or you don't die, both. Your life and your death, both are miserable. So, for devotees, as the sadhu said, either you live or you die, both ways it is wonderful. So actually it is said that the devotees are the ones who are really actually always peaceful. Now it is said, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atha Eva Shanta. So for a person, let's just come for a, you know, for a moment, let's talk about somebody who has received advance notice. Most of us do not get the eviction order. Many of us do not get eviction order. Ki 6 mahine mein eviction hone wala hai. Most of us don't get. Many of us will die of heart attacks. You know, today's lifestyle diseases ensure that most people don't get any notice. They just go in one moment. We will not have notice. But assuming somebody has noticed that they're going to die in 6 months, what would be the reaction of different kinds of people? So someone who is a bhukti, you know, someone who is very interested in sense gratification, who is very, whose his whole focus of life is how I can enjoy more, how I can increase my assets, how I can increase my education, how I can have, you know, nicer and nicer things for my enjoyment. For such a person, being given an eviction order, that means you're going to die in 6 months, what happens to that person? Such a person actually tries to stay longer. There are different types of desires at the time of death. See, when somebody knows that they're going to die, they will have different kinds of desires. For a person who's actually having this kind of bhukti mentality, what happens to them? They become frustrated. They become frustrated and they are attached to so much attached to enjoyment that they're thinking, I want to enjoy some more. Can't I live a little longer? Can't I do something to increase my lifespan? Can't I go to this doctor, this vaid, that vaid? What can I do to enjoy more? What can I do to increase my lifespan of enjoyment? Even if death is come upon them, they are still focused on what they have done or what they have not done. Sochati, kangshati. They are either lamenting over, you know, what they could not do, or they are hankering for what they still want to do. You know, I remember I heard this story many years back. There was a lady who was, you know, like the head of a family, of a business family. The husband had died many years back, and she had grown the business. The business was grown by her. And then she had sons, you know, all her sons as they grew up, they started assisting her. Then grandchildren came, and she was like the, you know, the matriarch of the family, the head of the family, who had overseen the business growing from what it was to a very big business. And then this lady was about to leave her body. It was quite clear that she's going to leave any time now. So her grandson was actually a devotee. And the grandson was chanting near her ears. And he was telling her, Dadi, Bhagwan ka naam lo, Hari ka naam lo, chant, chant, Hare Krishna. He was telling her to chant. But she was not even looking at him. She was not even listening to him. She was not able to listen to him. What was she doing? She was banging her chest like this and saying, maro piso, my money." She was worried that I am going to leave behind all this money. What will these fools do with my money? Maro piso, and he was telling her, "Dadi, paisa chodo, Bhagwan ka naam lo." And she was saying, "Maro piso," and she died like that. Suddenly, she just left her body. So, for a person who is bhukti kami, who is only focused on sense gratification, it is very unfortunate, but even till the last moment, even if someone tries to, you know, artificially impose Krishna consciousness on them, it is not possible. It's very difficult for them to accept the holy name when all their life they haven't done it. It's not so easy. Then there is the, there are those who are mukti kami, those who are wanting liberation. So such people, when they hear that, death is coming, so they are actually mukti kami. They have to some extent understood that the material world is a miserable place and it's not possible for me to enjoy over here. So better I leave fast, you know. And they want the curtain to close. Let the curtain fall quickly. I don't want anything. This maya, this material world is all maya. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to do anything. They don't want to associate with anyone. They just want to get liberated, because it arises out of frustration with the material world. Is that bad? It's not bad, but it's not the ideal platform either, because the ideal platform is that of a devotee. A Vaishnava, when they come to know that they are going to leave their body, that they are, you know, the notice has come, the eviction period has started, when they come to know, their consciousness is, they do not want to be bhukti kami. They are not thinking ki, for last 10 years, 15 years I have been following Krishna consciousness, I have only 6 months left, let me enjoy these 6 months. They are not thinking like that. They are not bhukti kami. Similarly, they are not mukti kami either. They are not thinking, very good, chalo, now chutkara mil jayega material world se, I just want to go back to Godhead quickly, chalo, finish it off fast. They are not thinking like that also. They are thinking that as long as I am here, let me do whatever service I can. Till I am here in the material world, if I continue to live in the material world, no problem. Let me continue to live here for a long time. And if I am forced by Krishna to come back immediately, I will go immediately. They are not attached either way. They are not attached to the fact that I am in the material world. They are not attached to the fact that I must go to the spiritual world. So if Krishna decides I am not ready and he places me back into the material world again and says you serve some more time, a devotee is willing to do that. A devotee is not even mukti kami. He is not even thinking that, okay, you know, let me finish this and go back to Godhead. What is the only desire of a devotee? The only desire of a devotee is, how can I serve Krishna? How can I please Krishna? So for a devotee, the final exam is only about that. That have I come to a stage where I have developed some love for Krishna? Have I come to a point you know, that I can, you know, serve the Vaishnavas and serve the Lord wherever it is. You know, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings, Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha tohar, nitya dasa prati toa adhikar. So, the devotee's consciousness is that my Lord, if you want to kill me, you can kill me. My Lord, if you want to keep me alive, you keep me alive. Like we see in the story of Ambarish Maharaj. He is not bothered that Durvas Muni has unleashed this fiery demon upon him. He is not worried about that. He is saying, fine, Krishna, if this is your will, I have to die a ghastly death, no problem. But if, you know, if Krishna has his way, he will never do this. He immediately destroyed that demon, and then it was Durvas who was running for 1 year in fear of his life. You know, so actually for a devotee it does not matter whether Krishna decides to kill them or decides to keep them alive for another 2 years. We have the example of, you know, Palika Mataji, the wife of Mahaprabhu Prabhu. She had cancer, she contracted cancer 25 years back. But for 25 years she was living, fighting the disease, living and serving, as you know, serving in the car program, serving so many devotees. Thousands of devotees have benefited from her service, from her consciousness, from her example. Thousands of Matajis and Prabhujis were, you know, inspired by her example. So sometimes Krishna may want to keep a person alive for a very long time, suffering, but still serving, setting an example. So this is the consciousness of the devotee, that let me, whether you want to close the curtain or I should go on, let me play the part as per your desire. I don't want to have any independent desire. My desire is to serve you. If I can develop, you know, as devotees, as Vaishnavas, we are all aspiring Vaishnavas here. We are all sadhakas who are trying to follow a certain process. We are following the process of devotional service. We are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We are following certain principles. We are coming like this in the association with devotees. But somewhere along the line, we should also start thinking. You know, the experience that I had over the last couple of months because of my mother, it kind of sobers you. I had, I lost many of my, many of my relatives. But I was never there when they left the body. I lost some friends, classmates, you know, some of my classmates from school are no longer with us. They're gone. One died of a heart attack, one guy died of throat cancer. Gutka, you know, they showed, right? That, you know, friend from Dubai brought gutka. So this boy had a habit of eating gutka. And by the age of 20, he was gone with throat cancer. Age of 20. Another person died of a heart attack at the age of 33. Right, so really things are not very predictable. But still, whenever you see death, even as a devotee, when we see death, we are not so impressed. You know, we say, "Theek hai, you know, yeah, poor fellow, you know, he might have died and whatever it is." And we understand, we know philosophically we are also going to die. But still, we don't take it so seriously. I also didn't. But somehow, whatever incident happened in the last couple of months, get you thinking. It gets you thinking. Many people come and ask you questions, you know. People come and ask that, why does Krishna do this? You know, for a devotee, someone who has been sincerely serving all these years, why does Krishna give this, horrendous diseases like cancer and, you know, whatever, blood cancer and whatever else, which are very painful diseases, incidentally. So why does Krishna do this? Why does he test his devotees like this? So Krishna actually tests his devotees. He tests his devotees and he always does this routinely. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had told one story that there was once a devotee called Murari. This Murari was, he was in Puri or in some, I don't know exactly whether it was in Puri, but some kingdom, and he was worshipping Lord Jagannath. And one night Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and I told him, "I want to eat mangoes." So he said, "Where can I get mangoes? Only mangoes grow in the king's garden. Here nowhere else mangoes are growing." So Lord Jagannath said, "You go do one thing, you go to the king's garden and you steal the mangoes." So the pujari said, "Should I steal the mangoes?" Jagannath told him that, "Don't worry, I am there behind you, you go. I'll be there." So he was thinking, you know, avashya rakshibe Krishna, you know, sir. Krishna will protect me. His direction, his order, I'm going. So he went to the king's garden. Quietly he climbed up and nobody was looking. And he started plucking the mangoes. And his hands were full of mangoes. And Lord Jagannath was watching from behind. And then suddenly the king's soldiers swooped in. Hey, chor, 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 catch him, catch him. Everyone swooped in and he was caught red-handed with full of mangoes. You know, it's like mango-handed. It was just hands filled with mangoes. And he started looking around. Where is Jagannath? Where is Jagannath? Jagannath nowhere to be seen. Jagannath had vanished. So he was very, very, you know, very agitated. And he was thinking, what do I do now? And, you know, he was taken to the king. He was taken to the king and he was going to be punished severely. Because, ye majal, raja ke baag se aake aam churaya. How dare you steal mangoes from the king's? You could have gone anywhere else and stolen. You came to the king's garden. How dare you, you know. So, he was going to be punished severely. But then at that time, Lord Jagannath, so this devotee went through this fearful situation that he thought he was going to die. And however, the king, in his dream, Lord Jagannath appeared and he told him, no, actually this person is a very great devotee of mine. I told him to do this. I personally appeared in his dream and I told him to do this. You must release him and you must honor him greatly and give me those mangoes also. So, the Lord is actually, now you can imagine this situation, what that devotee must have gone through, right? At that moment he must be thinking, Lord, you told me to do this, you said you'll be behind me and now you've ditched me like this. Ditch kar diya. How can you do this? But the Lord sometimes tests his devotees like this. He tests that how sincere are we? You know, it's the easiest thing, you know, to blame the Lord. Whenever anything good happens in our life, whom do we blame? I did it. Mere mehnat mushakkat se hua hai. Mere parishram se hua hai. We blame ourselves. We kind of accuse ourselves. You great guy, you did this. You know, we blame ourselves. But when something goes wrong, we blame the Lord. Immediately we blame the Lord. How could you do this? I have been chanting for so many years, my Lord. You are not listening. Am I not chanting loudly enough? You know, we start blaming the Lord immediately. But the Lord is actually seeing, He's watching our sincerity. He is looking for us to see how we react when He puts us into difficult situation. There's a story of, you know, Gopinath Patanayaka, similar, was put into a tremendously difficult situation. He was about to be killed on the Changa and his brothers were also arrested because of a mistake he made. He was to be killed and his brothers were also arrested. And Lord Chaitanya asked the devotees that what were his brothers doing, you know, when they were arrested. So he said they were all constantly with great devotion chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So the Lord actually, He actually gives sometimes devotees difficult situations. He puts us into awkward situations. He puts us into difficult situations to test our sincerity. If we are able to come out of that situation as both these devotees came, if we come out with flying colors, the Lord is very pleased. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he heard that these devotees, even when they are being arrested without reason, still they never gave up shelter of the holy name. They never gave up the shelter of the devotees. They never blamed the Lord. They just gracefully accepted whatever came upon them. This is a Vaishnava. Sometimes when Krishna gives His causeless mercy, it comes in a shape which we cannot recognize. It's very difficult sometimes to acknowledge that this is causeless mercy of the Lord. Like we see in the case of Kubja. And in Krishna Leela, when Kubja was approached by Lord Krishna and Balram, Kubja, she was a hunchback. And she had prepared this sandal paste for Kamsa. But when Krishna and Balram, you know, appeared before her, they told her, ki, why don't you give this chandan to us? You know, very nice chandan, why don't you give it to us? Now, she knew this for a fact, that this chandan is being prepared for Kamsa. She knew why, probably even knew why Krishna Balram had been invited to Mathura, basically for killing them. So if she did anything to serve Krishna Balram, she knew it meant certain death. She will be killed. But still, Krishna and Balram are asking. Supreme Lord is asking what to do. So, sometimes Krishna puts us in these kind of situations where, you know, as they say, between the devil and the deep blue sea, you don't know what to do. You know, but she chose to serve Krishna. She chose to serve Krishna. So, we do not understand. Sometimes you have to choose, like this Kubja had to, you know, choose between certain death from Kamsa and the loving mercy of Krishna. She chose loving mercy of Krishna. So, Krishna's mercy sometimes comes in this form. We are not able to understand. It comes in a very difficult way. Sometimes it comes as bad health. Sometimes it comes as a setback in our business. Sometimes it comes as a setback in our relationships. With our husband, with our wife, with our parents, with our children, you know, or our friends, or our business. Anything, you know, setbacks could come from anywhere. And we should have the ability. Life is, as I said, life is a preparation. Our life should be led in such a way that we associate with the devotees who are giving us this example, who are setting an example for us how to react when difficult situations come. You know, as it is stated, the greatness of a devotee is to be gauged, is to be measured by their ability to withstand provoking situations. So that is how we can really understand whether a person is great. We say, oh, this person is so great, so great. And generally in the material world, the yardstick for greatness is what? How educated they are, how handsome they are, how beautiful they are, or how, you know, wealthy they are, how powerful they are, the six opulences. Basically, these are the things we say to how great they are. But really, greatness is to be measured in this. Because when you have everything going for you, it's very easy to be great. You know, when everything is going very nicely, it's easy to be philanthropic. You know, to give great amounts in charity, to, you know, speak very nice words. It's very easy. When you are in good health, everything is going well, to give lectures is very easy. But when you are in great difficulty, you are in great pain, or you have suffered a great setback in your life, at that point of time, you know, being equally Krishna conscious, being equally, you know, surrendered to the Lord is always a challenge. And Krishna tests us like this. You know, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you know, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Radha Swami met him once when he was, not met him once, he was with him in his final days. And during his final days, actually Radhanath Maharaj commented that, you know, you always had a tremendous impact on your disciples and all the devotees. But now, when you are about to leave your body, the impact you are having on them is just gone to a different level altogether. You know? The impact you are having on all the disciples and all the devotees now, when you are about to leave your body, when you are in such intense pain. He was in intense pain. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, the kind of cancer he was suffering from, he was in such intense pain. At that point of time, the impact that he was having on the, you know, community that was around him was much it was on a different level. So the realization that he stated from that is that sometimes Krishna puts devotees in such traumatic situations, traumatic experiences, basically to intensify their love for Krishna and to intensify the love of the devotees for that devotee. Because otherwise, you know, we have seen that when, you know, in this wonderful congregation of devotees, though we meet here every Sunday, many of us meet during weekdays, some attend some local satsang programs, some of us attend counseling meetings and so on and so forth. So we keep meeting each other. But even when we meet each other, what is the general interaction? Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. And that's it. There's nothing more than that. There's no interaction. There is no interaction, very less interaction. It's a very superficial kind of relationship. And sometimes we are left wondering, you know, ki kya matlab, we say, you know, association of devotees. Where is that association? How is it going to, you know, really help me? But when we are about to leave our body, whoever gets that eviction notice, that time the way the devotees kind of converge, you know, on that devotee, suddenly the mercy starts flowing like a torrent. You know, till that point of time, devotees will meet, depending, you know, there may be some devotees who have a loving relationship, some who don't. But when such a situation comes, when a difficult situation comes upon a Vaishnava, all the Vaishnavas come in. Someone brings Mahaprasad, someone brings, you know, garland, someone brings some book, someone comes and reads for that devotee, someone comes and chants for the devotee, someone comes and massages his feet, someone brings medicines. It just becomes an amazing experience altogether. So sometimes Krishna puts devotees into this situation to intensify the love of other devotees for that devotee. Not that they don't love. It's just that everyone has their own busy lives. Everyone has their own busy schedules. Everyone has their own service. They have their own children. They have their own, you know, own lives basically to deal with. So no one is able to give that kind of quality time to each other. So sometimes when we see that devotees are not able to give you time, you should understand that everyone has their own pressures. That is why you're not able to give time. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they hate you. It's not that they, you know, are ignoring you. It is just that probably they have their own compulsions, their own worries, which is why they are not able to give that time. But we should understand that these same Vaishnavas, whom today we sometimes blaspheme, who sometimes we ignore, sometimes we, you know, just generally don't say anything, or we have a very superficial relationship. It is these same Vaishnavas who will come to us and save our lives at some point of time. And the other thing that worries us, you know, as devotees, sometimes we worry, you know, that, you know, I am chanting, I am coming to the temple, I am listening to Harikatha, I am doing everything, but inside, not much transformation. My heart is still filled with anarthas. It is filled with anarthas. There is very little bhakti, little few drops of bhakti, and it is filled with poison. My heart has got so many anarthas in it. What if I die now? You know, I have not performed any, you know, as they say, todu devotional service. I've just done some very simple, either udar, you know, small things I've done. I've not done something spectacular. I've not done something great in devotional service. I'm a very simple devotee. I've not done anything great. So sometimes you may become a little bit disheartened by that. You may feel that God knows, you know, I may not perfect my life. I may not become a pure devotee by the time death approaches. What about me? So a very beautiful quote, I'll just read this. One of the devotees had said, he said, the Lord's quality of being merciful and forgiving our sins is more important than His knowledge. Knowledge of what? And His knowledge and His memory of our every thought, word and actions. So actually, our every thought, our every word and our every action is being observed by the Supreme Lord. It's a very sobering, realization when you hear this. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. It's actually a very sobering verse if you understand. He says that I am residing in everyone's heart as the Paramatma, and from me comes memory, knowledge and forgetfulness. So it is He only is providing us memory. It is He only who is providing us forgetfulness. And every activity that we are doing, Krishna is observing. So sometimes we should think, you know, that what kind of person I am. So when we are in a crowd of devotees, when we are with Vaishnavas, generally we are very well behaved, right? We are very humble, we follow the four regulative principles, we chant very nicely. But it is when we are alone, that is when the real test comes. When we think we are alone, nobody is around. Now I can do spaced out chanting, you know, at last. Now I can do spaced out. I can space out basically. You know, that is unfortunately our mind is like that. Mind is so nasty. It doesn't allow you to settle down on the holy name. It will keep agitating you, keep throwing things, ideas at you. Think of this, think of this, think about this enjoyment you had, think about this place you went, think about this sight you saw, think about this food you ate. It just keeps on agitating you, doesn't allow you to settle down. So, at that time, what we do when we are alone, that is the test of our devotional life. That is really the test of our character. That is the test of how much progress we are really making in Krishna consciousness. But regardless of whether somebody saw you or didn't see you, the Lord is seeing you at every moment. Right? So He is aware. If He wants to, He can wo chitta dikha sakte hai aapko. Ki ye dekho, this is what you are. This is what you have done. You claim to be Vaishnava? Hello, please see this. These are all your activities, you know. So if the Lord wants, He can do that. How difficult is it for Him? You know, like I always give the example, you know, in the corporate world, you know, there is a manager. Whoever is the employee, every employee has a manager. Now, when the employee goes and gives a review, gives a report to the manager that this is what I did last week, right? No matter what the employee says, many of you will, you know, identify with this. No matter what the employee says, if the boss is in a mood to beat him, he will beat him. Kuch bhi bole, whatever he may say, he will always find something which you have not done. You know, I did this, you do this, I did it. What about this? No, this isn't a useless fellow. You know? So, if the boss wants, he can find mistake no matter what you do. Now, he is the supreme lord, supreme boss. And we know how many mistakes we have made. You know, we have made less good things and more mistakes in our life. So, this is a very hope-giving statement that the Lord's quality of being merciful and forgiving our sins is more important than His knowledge and memory of our every thought, word and action. This is what gives us hope. This is what gives us that, you know, that foundation that the Lord is more merciful than He is an accountant. He is not an accountant. There are other people who keep accounts. But for those who surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishami. I will free you from all sinful reactions. You just surrender to me. If we make a sincere effort to surrender, Krishna will surely save us. So there are, you know, couple of things that, you know, many devotees came and met my mother when she was in her terminal stage, and many, many beautiful, you know, learnings came out of it. Some devotees told me I should speak about, so I'll just repeat a few of the points that these devotees, you know, kind of shared with her in her final moments, because these are all wonderful for us, you know, as devotees who are making a sincere effort. We are not perfect, we all know we are not perfect, but we are all trying. You know, we get at least some marks for trying. We are trying to chant, we are trying to come here, we are here, we are sitting in this, you know, in this satsang program. We are sitting in the Sunday feast, whereas we could be anywhere else at this point of time. Sunday afternoon could be anywhere else, could be watching TV. But you are here. You are investing that time and effort. You are making a sincere attempt. So for that sincere attempt, the Lord always reciprocates. So I'll just share some points. You know, one of the points that Sukhava Mataji, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she made this point that why are we fearful? Why do people become fearful? Those who don't have any spiritual knowledge, why do they become fearful? They become fearful of death because they understand at some point of time that when I die, the only identity that I am aware of, what is the identity I am aware of? This body. I am only aware of this body. Even if I have heard spiritual knowledge, thoda bahut suna hai, I know that I am not this body, I am the soul. Kahin to suna hai, kisi ne lecture mein bola tha. Theek hai. But still, the only identity I am aware of is this body. Now at the time of death, if this body is going to be taken away from me, it's a very fearful thought, right? This is the only thing I can identify with and it's going to be taken away from me. Now what? Next life what? What body am I going to get? Where will I be? No one knows. That is what makes us fearful. Once there was an academic, Dr. Benford, who met Srila Prabhupada in California University. And he asked Srila Prabhupada that what will happen to you and your students next? So they were discussing about science of the soul, and Prabhupada was, you know, giving him beautiful back and forth on the science of the soul. And this person asked Prabhupada, what will happen to you next? You and your, you know, so-called disciples. So Srila Prabhupada, he said a very nice thing. He said, we are going back to Krishna. And he says, we have got everything. I'm quoting. He says, we have got everything. Krishna's name, Krishna's address, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities. We know everything. Okay? Of course, Srila Prabhupada is saying this, that we know His name, we know His activities, we know His address. Kahan jana hai, pata bhi malum hai. We know His address and you know, we know His form. We know everything and we are going there. And he says, Krishna promises this in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti maam eti swarjuna. Krishna has promised, if you know the nature of my transcendental, you know the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, you will not take birth again, you will come back to me. So Krishna has promised, and Prabhupada is simply quoting, we know this, so we are confident. A devotee has nothing to fear. Why? Because he has heard from Prabhupada. He has heard from the acharyas who assure us that Krishna is a merciful Lord. If we are sincere in our devotional service, at the end of life, we will go back to Him. His Grace Govind Prabhu also made a very beautiful point about what is the consciousness of a person who is about to leave his body. What consciousness should we have? Of course, we all know that when a person is, you know, as a devotee, as a practicing sadhaka, we all know that we should chant Hare Krishna. We all know that we should chant the holy names, chant attentively. Every day we chant, the 10 offenses to the holy name. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. All that we chant, but, you know, not really seriously. We don't chant the holy name so seriously. But when you come to the final stage, that is typically the, you know, the trigger for us to understand that, okay, now I better become serious. Right? We become more serious about our devotional service. So that is definitely there. But what should our consciousness be? If you have had a full life, you know, in devotional service, you have performed various services, what should your consciousness be? So he was saying that we should have consciousness on one side of gratitude, the other side of begging forgiveness. Gratitude for what? We should be grateful for the opportunities we got to serve. Not that we gloat or we become very, you know, proud that, you know, I did so much service, you know, last so many years. Do you know what I did? Are you aware of my glories? No. We should not be thinking about what we did. We should just be so grateful that a patit person like me got an opportunity to serve these wonderful Vaishnavas. These wonderful devotees who are dedicating their lives for the mission of Srila Prabhupada, for the pleasure of Shri Radha Gopinath, I got an opportunity to serve them. Just be grateful for that. That's it. And on the other side, be very, very begging for forgiveness. That in the process of serving these Vaishnavas, if I have committed any offenses, beg for forgiveness. If those persons come to meet you, beg for forgiveness when they come to meet you. If they don't come to meet you, in your mind you beg forgiveness. But beg forgiveness. What does this do for us? It's a very beautiful thought. He said that by doing this, by, you know, being grateful for what opportunities we got to serve, we are leaving behind any idea of good karma, any pious karma, which we may have in our mind somewhere accumulated, ki I served like this, I served like that. All those pious karma we are leaving behind by being grateful. That actually I didn't deserve it. I just got an opportunity to serve. So by that gratitude we leave behind the pious karma. And then similarly, by begging forgiveness of the Vaishnavas for what mistakes I have committed. And we have committed millions of mistakes. No doubt about it. We have committed mistakes all through our lives. By begging forgiveness, by consciously making an effort to beg forgiveness like that, we are leaving behind our bad karma as well. So then at the time of death, no good karma, no bad karma, we can actually go back to the Lord. With no baggage. You're not carrying any baggage. Another thing that we can have as a consciousness, if at all lamentation is there, you know, we were discussing about the bhukti kami, mukti kami. The devotee's only lamentation is, I wish I had served more. You know, that's about the only lamentation the devotee can have. That, you know, I did not develop love for Krishna. I did not serve enough. That's about the only lamentation devotee can have. Otherwise, there is no need. If you have served sincerely for all your life, there is no need to lament. And in the process of service, you know, sometimes you may make mistakes, right? As I was saying, at the time of doing services, we commit mistakes. Sometimes while glorifying devotees, we commit mistakes. Sometimes while cooking, sometimes while doing managerial work, we offend devotees. We make so many mistakes. There are so many imperfections in us, really. Very few of us are really perfect in any field of activity. We are full of imperfections. So, You know, His Holiness Radhan Maharaj, he was making this point. He said that in our life, you know, none of us are really perfect in whatever we do. We all have imperfections. But if we are really sincere, you know, who are just doing their best to whatever their, you know, God-given ability is, if we are just sincerely following the process of devotional service, if we are very sincerely trying to serve the Vaishnavas, trying to please the Vaishnavas, even if there are imperfections, even if there are mistakes, Krishna's grace makes everything perfect. Krishna's grace makes everything perfect when we are sincere. So even if there are imperfections, whatever mistakes you make, Krishna's mercy is what really makes our life perfect. So in the last stage of life, really, we have nothing to be fearful about. You know, so sometimes you may be fearful that I have not perfected, I still have so many anarthas in my heart, I still have so many desires, what about this, what about that, I have been chanting for 15 years, 20 years, I still have material desires. You know, you may become panicky, right? You think, hey, death is coming, I'm not ready. Really, we don't need to be worried. Beautiful point, that if you have been sincere in your devotional service, you have done your best, you are not cheated. You know, we have not approached Krishna with a cheating heart. We have approached Krishna with a genuine heart, tried to give our best to the Vaishnavas, to the Supreme Lord, serve to the best of our abilities. If we have been, you know, sincere in our bhakti, in the last stage, there is no need to be afraid. There is no need to regret. No need. You can be very peaceful because the Supreme Lord's mercy, His grace is finally what counts. What can we achieve as devotees, really? If you think about it, you know, it is like an exam which you have to get 100 marks. You know, 100 marks means pure devotee. Shuddha Bhakt. Where are we today? Some of us are on 1%, some of us are on 2%, some of us are on 4%. 4% means senior devotee. But where we have to reach 100? We are nowhere. We are nowhere. No hope in life. But there is hope. Who is our hope? Our hope is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given us that hope, that don't worry, just be sincere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the hope. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our hope. He tells us that just chant Hare Krishna and don't criticize anyone. You will come back to Godhead in this lifetime. Even that we can't do? Of course we can. So if you are sincere about these two things also, just chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Chant sincerely, chant attentively, chant offenselessly. Don't offend anyone. Don't say my offenses are reserved only for non-devotees. You know, devotees, I'm very careful. Non-devotees, come, I treat them like, you know, rubbish. No. We should be, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't criticize anybody. If you just do this, then we have to depend on what? Mercy factor. Our 3% may reach 4% or maybe 10% at the time of death. But if we have been sincere in our life, the Supreme Lord's mercy comes and completes the remaining 90%. It is finally the Lord's, He is Avigya Swarat, He is independent, He may decide that this person, I think he is ready and he can take us. If He feels we are not ready, He will place us in some other situation where we can get more purified. Where we can, you know, as I say, milk ko boil kar karke, it, you know, it becomes rubbery. It becomes thick and, you know, much more palatable. Just plain milk is not palatable to many people. But rabdi, generally nobody says no, and it's very nice. So, as a devotee, we have the option of remaining milk or becoming rabdi, you know, by intensifying our devotional service. But the Lord is not so, you know, He's very merciful, He gives us an opportunity. Another point that Maharaj mentioned, he said, we should also have this consciousness, we should understand this, that really, at the time of death, Krishna is all we have. We should not at that point, when we come to that stage, when we are about to leave our bodies, at that point of time, we should understand that actually Krishna is all we have. You know? Because He brought us together. You know, as I started in the beginning by saying destiny. You know, the destiny which brings these straws together. He is the one who created this immediate family of husband, wife, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts. He is the one who created this family. He is the one who put us in this family, in this situation. He is the one who put us in this larger family of devotees. Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. It is not by our own desire. We never, given a choice, we will never have a desire. Given a choice, nobody will ever have a desire to surrender to Krishna. We will always continue doing what we are doing, flowing in that river. We will never make an effort to come out of that river. We will stay in that river and think we are enjoying. So this is our situation. It is Krishna who placed us in this family. It is Krishna who placed us in this wonderful, loving family of devotees. So we should understand, when we come to that point in our life, we should understand actually it is Krishna is all we have. And at that stage of our life, we should go with this consciousness. He says, give your heart to Krishna. Give your heart to Krishna and just offer your family to Krishna with all your heart. You know, when you are at that final stage of life, there is no point. We saw in the case of Palika Mataji also, she finished her duties and then she cut off. She said, that's it, I'm done. No more now. You know, she offered her family to Krishna, that now Krishna, you take care. I'm done. No more worrying about, what about my son, he's useless. What about my grandchildren, they are, you know, so disobedient. No worrying about all these things. Just give your family to Krishna. Offer your family to Krishna with all your heart, saying that they belong to you and now by your grace, Krishna, I will move on. And it can only be by His grace. By our own, you know, by our own efforts, it's very difficult to move on. But if Krishna is merciful upon us, we can move on. We can let these things behind. You know, as they say, actually, when you go for a funeral, you know, the person who's carrying the pot, the son, typically, he's not supposed to look behind. I don't know what the system behind it is, but he's not supposed to look behind. So we actually, in life also, ideally we should be looking ahead. And that's what Maharaj told her also. He said, you know, offer everything to Krishna, right, to absorb in yourself in Krishna. And he said, don't look back. He said, now, no longer looking back that, oh, you know, I did this, or I had this problem, I had a very painful life, or I had a very wonderful life, I am so this. He said, just don't look back anymore. Now just look forward. Because now you have come to that stage in life where no need to look behind. Now you give up. Behind means family. Family, friends, counselees, everyone. Leave behind everyone. Abhi kisi ko nahi dekhna hai. Sabko piche chhod do. Now just look forward. Look forward to whom? Look forward to this wonderful opportunity where you can now go back to Krishna. You can associate with Him in the spiritual world. You will go to a place where you will be loved like you have never been loved before. You may have been loved by your husband. You may have been loved by your children. If you are fortunate, your husband and children would have loved you. Your friends, your counselors would have given you love. If you are fortunate, you would have received it. But that does not compare in any way with the love we will receive in the association of the Supreme Lord. So, look forward there now. Don't look back anymore. Krishna has another leela for you, so look forward to that and be happy. So really, for us as devotees, you know, as devotees, this is what we have to look forward to. Death for us is not an unpleasant event. It could be. Physically, it could be a very unpleasant event. You know, you could... I remember my mother had spoken to, you know, when she had met Maharaj, when she had told him that I would like to have a dignified exit. You know, when I leave my body, I would like to leave in a dignified manner. But very beautifully, Maharaj told her that dignity is not in the physical event of death. It's not that, you know, when we leave, like all of us read, right? We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Dhruva Maharaj left. We read about so many devotees, how they left their body, how Srila Prabhupada left his body, you know, all surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna, you know, and so many other devotees you've seen who are left in this manner. So we may have in our heart, somewhere we harbor that desire, right? I would also like to leave in this kind of a dignified, auspicious manner. But Maharaj told her that actually dignity is not in the physical event itself. The physical event of leaving your body may not be that dignified. For example, you may leave, you know, convulsing, you may leave choking, you may leave vomiting, anything may happen. He didn't say that, but that's understood. Right? It can happen in any way. It may happen in your sleep, it may happen anyway. So the physical event is not important. What is important? Dignity is in how we approach death. How do we go to that event? How do we prepare our consciousness? How do we get into that mode that, okay, now everything else stop, full stop. I don't want anything else. Now let me just focus on this. Let me focus on the holy name. Let me focus on what the Lord has in store for me. Whether I go back to the spiritual world or I come back in the material world and perform more service for Prabhupada, whatever that service the Lord has in store for me, let me now prepare my consciousness. So if we have this, you know, if we have this consciousness, if we prepare our minds in this way, then death is not an undignified event at all. It is a wonderful way, because it's just a small, you know, like when you are going on a highway, sometimes suddenly some very intelligent people put speed breakers on highways. Right? You've seen, you know, you're going on a Mumbai-Ahmedabad highway, suddenly on the way there's a, you're going at 80 speed and suddenly there's a speed breaker there. So that speed breaker means if you've got a little low suspension car, you come and crash into the speed breaker. You hear that jarring sound, and you know, when it's scratching over the speed breaker, and then you cross over. So we may have that kind of a speed breaker in our life, but still, if we remain focused, we remain clear that ultimately I want to go here. That final speed breaker may be very unpleasant, but the end of it, we are back on our way back to Godhead. So if this way we, you know, prepare ourselves for the final examination. Life is a preparation, death is a final examination. We have this opportunity, all of us have this opportunity to actually perfect our lives in this manner. The mercy of the Supreme Lord, mercy of Srila Prabhupada is waiting for us. Actually the Lord is waiting. He is waiting for us to come back to Him. But if we, you know, through our activities, through the way we associate with devotees, if we develop that desire in this lifetime, then at the end of this lifetime, we also have this wonderful opportunity to associate with Shri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or